Welcome to the Oldie Literary Lunch, sponsored by Noble Caledonia, the world experts in small ship cruising.
And now, to the top of the bill, our final speaker. I believe there has been a royal wedding. I scoured the papers, nothing shredding any light on it. It was frustrating, no mention of it. I craved some knowledge, so I was anticipating eagerly, as sure as my name is Barry, meeting this author, who is the real Harry, the title of her book. I once met Andre Previn, which is irrelevant, but I struggled to rhyme with Angela Levin.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. You must admit that it's a very hard to follow two such wonderful speakers, but I shall do my best. I've tried to compensate by that by putting a clock in front of me so that I don't do a Bishop Curry and linger longer than I'm supposed to. My writing of a biography of Prince Harry was really a case of me being in the right place at the right time and being very determined to work incredibly hard. In 2015, I began noticing that he was coming out of this rebellion stage and being a bit more at ease in his own skin. And I asked Kensington Palace if I could perhaps accompany him on some of the trips he was doing around the country and write a profile of him for Newsweek. It took me 5 months to convince them that I was honourable, that I wasn't going to do a hatchet job, especially that I used to work for the Mail and the Mail on Sunday, and that I was genuinely interested in him. So they said, well, what's the essence that you want to get? And I said, well, I think this is the time he's moving from rebellion to going back to royalty. None of the papers have done it, and I would like to go with this. And they said, you're spot on. Let's see what we can do. But we have to ask him at the right time because he can get very grumpy. He also, of course, doesn't like the media, so it was a sort of double whammy. Eventually, I was allowed to accompany him to Nottingham. And after that visit seemed to go okay, and I smiled, and I was very quiet and benign, I followed him for a year. After that, various publishers contacted me and said, we'd like you to write a biography. You can have a very long time to write it and, you know, do your best analysing. I like to think of myself as a sort of amateur psychological analyst. And I wanted to sort of have a go at doing this. So I started work, and a week after I signed the contract, the engagement was announced between him and Meghan. And I thought, it's no point coming out after the wedding. I've got to do it before. And so I had 10 weeks in which to write 85,000 words. So I didn't have New Year's Eve. I didn't see anyone. I lived in my tracksuit and my T-shirt, and I just worked incredibly hard from 4:30 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, unless I fell asleep, as I sometimes did, on my laptop. I had, during that year, asked Kensington Palace several times if I could go and actually talk to Harry on my own. And the question was, no, he doesn't do interviews, no, senior royals don't do interviews, no, senior royals don't do interviews. And suddenly, out of the blue, they said, oh, are you free next Tuesday at 2:30? Because you can go and see His Royal Highness. So I said, wonderful, great. How long have I got? And they said, 20 minutes. And you know that 20 minutes, you can do nothing except make small talk. But anyway, I thought I would have to concentrate on a key question that would keep him with me for longer. So I worked it out in my head, practiced my curtsy very hard, which included falling over several times before I got it right, and then went to Kensington Palace on time. Sat there, shook my hand, I sat down, and I thought, this question will either get me thrown out immediately or it'll really break the ice. And the question was, Your Royal Highness, I've followed you for a year, and I've seen you behave extraordinarily kindly and with understanding to people who are damaged. Children who come from dysfunctional homes, ex-servicemen and women who are wounded physically, emotionally, psychologically. And I'm just wondering whether you're also using this as a form of therapy for yourself, and that you're benefiting from this contact. So there was silence, and the minutes seemed to be about 10 hours each one. And he said, wow, that's a big question. There's another silence. And I thought, he's obviously debating whether to send me out or not. And he said, you're right, of course. And that meant that I could talk to him at a much deeper level, and that he actually stayed with me for an hour and a half. So we sort of bonded, and I went back and did talk to him again. Now, what is the essential Harry? He is charismatic. He has a quality that he's obviously inherited from his mother, which is that he can read people very quickly. He knows what to say, how to say it, and he can make people feel much better in about 2 minutes, which I think is something enviable for us all. For example, he would talk to a very badly wounded soldier who'd suffered tremendously from post-traumatic stress syndrome, and he'd go up to him and hear what happened, and he said to one of them, so what's the biggest effect it's had on you? And this young man looked at him and said, I am no longer me. I don't know who I am anymore. He was muscly, he'd fought, and he talked to him for a few more minutes, and when I went to speak to him afterwards, he said to me, you know what? I've got confidence. I feel I can do it. I feel I can be strong again. And I saw this time and time and time again. It was absolutely amazing. One more incident, which was in Nottingham, I went to see a community centre for children from very dysfunctional homes who'd either had knives or been knifed. And I got there before him, as you're supposed to do, and was chatting to them. Are you keen to see Prince Harry? It must be wonderful. And they said, huh, who cares? You know, I don't care. So what? So what? And the guy who ran it said to me, you wait, because when he comes, it'll be as if a switch has gone on. And he came full of energy, full of drive. And within 2 minutes, they were around him wanting selfies, slapping him on the back. He was slapping them on the back. He has this sort of magical quality. He also gets very irritable if he's stuck listening to statistics and so on, practical stuff. But what he wanted all along, he told me, he wanted to get married, he wanted to have children. And the key women in his life couldn't cope with the spotlight until he met Meghan. And it's very interesting because in the engagement, he said that when he saw her, he really realized that he had to make good chat and up his game, which is astonishing because he's the prince. She comes from quite a humble background. But he felt that he had to aspire to her level, which I think is very interesting. They got married on the 19th, as you know, and I had the enormous fortune of being employed for a week by CNN and to comment on the wedding, which it was a very long day from 4:30 a.m. till 9:30 p.m., watching everything happen in front of my eyes and being able to say anything I like because the Americans didn't know nearly as much about the royal family as I did. So it was a wonderful opportunity to say what I felt and not be too sort of over the top about it all. I don't think it's a fairy tale. I think they're both damaged up to a certain extent and will have to work very hard together to bond. But I think that she has given him tremendous energy to stay within the royal family, to do good, especially for rights to women and LGBT and people who are poor in Africa and all sorts of some very trendy ideas and some not so trendy. I think she's trying very hard to learn how to behave. And as we've just read, she's going off with the Queen to next week, I think it is, to learn a bit of the ropes, so she couldn't have a better teacher. And I hope that he does find happiness. I think it's difficult, but he has got his mother with him. He still feels that she's there watching him and that he is following in the path that she intended for him, which is very moving, with HIV and landmines and so on. And he has freeze-framed her as she was when she was 36, because she died then, and Meghan's 36 now, and said that he was sure that they would be the best of friends, which is really the most touching thing of all, because he's brought two people who've loved him so much together. Thank you.
The Oldie magazine is available at all good newsagents, but you can also subscribe and book tickets to the literary lunches at theoldie.co.uk.